It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. There's been a big Surface Book update. They're warning me not to do it. Blue screens of death and more. I'm going to do it anyway. That and all the Windows news, Microsoft news too, coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 462, recorded Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. Don't say the B word. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/windows and using the promo code Windows. And by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect files on your computer or server with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try it for free. You don't even need a credit card at carbonite.com today. Don't forget to use the offer code Windows to get 2 free bonus months when you decide to buy. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first 2 meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly. I'm sounding like Mary Jo now. The show where 2 out of the 3 hosts are dying.
I'm emotional.
I have a cold now. I think it just took me a while because you guys, actually Mary Jo was really deathly ill at the Build conference 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Foley.
I'm better though.
All about Microsoft.com. Yeah, she's still a little gravelly though.
Still a little.
And now I'm sounding that way.
I blame Vegas in your case.
Yeah.
I feel I got it. Sound great.
One day. Shut up. That's Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com.
Sorry.
One day in Vegas and I have a desert throat. How did that happen?
I get sick every time I go to Vegas.
Yeah, well, traveling does it.
Traveling does it. Conferences do it. Johnny Jett, my travel guru, he's on the radio show, says that he brings Clorox wipes or Lysol wipes with him and will not ride in a plane or stay in a hotel without wiping down all the surfaces that people touch.
Oh, wow.
He says the most dangerous thing is the luggage rack, the handle there, he wipes it off. Mm. Armrests, he wipes them off. And then the remote control in the hotel. And I poo-pooed him. I said, oh, Johnny, you're just being a paranoid silly. It's good for you. Germs are good for you. They build up your immunity. So one day, he didn't wipe off the remote in the hotel. He was sick for weeks.
I licked the remote in the hotel. My constitution is awesome.
Exactly. That's the problem is the first time you do it, you're going to get sick.
You got to start it when you're really young.
Yeah. That's why having preschoolers is also very good for your long-term health. You'll be sick a lot in the first few years because you get everything. So anyway, I apologize for how I sound today. I'm a little nasally. And I also apologize for the entire European Union. We just don't know what we're doing.
Actually, they're wonderfully consistent.
It's this, what's her name? Marguerite, how do you pronounce her name?
We looked this up one time.
Yeah, I don't remember.
She's the, what is she, the Commissioner for Privacy.
I have a little crush on her, by the way.
Really?
Aw.
Yeah, I love antitrust.
Wow.
She's awesome.
Vestager.
Let's, I will look it up while you guys tell us what old Marguerite has been up to.
Yeah, what is she doing?
She says she's finally come back. Well, actually, this one is Google, but I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk about the Google thing because there are a lot of Microsoft connections and implications of what's happening.
It reminds me a lot of what the DOJ did to Microsoft.
Yeah. Very close. Yeah. Very close.
We both were talking about that today. We're like, you know what? This is just like the DOJ case Microsoft.
Remember when you had to, I don't know, is this still the case in Europe when you install Windows, you get a browser menu?
Oh, I think that just ended. or it ended last year.
The browser ballot,
I think, retired, didn't it?
Which was, boy, sleep. But
they do sell N versions of Windows still, right? And those are the versions that don't come with Media Player software because that's so vital to everyone.
So this is very similar. Google's being mostly chastised because the Google search is built into Android and the browser is built into Android. But, you know, I got to point out, there's not one version of Android that I know of that you can't run a different browser or change the search to Bing.
Yeah, right. Without defending the EU, although we were talking about this earlier. I mean, I think that it's not a black and white thing. I mean, I think this is kind of a gray area. They make some good points. I think Google makes some good points, similar to what you just said. I think the problem is these agreements that they have with hardware makers and wireless carriers, where they basically give them financial incentives not to bundle other products on it. It's it's really very similar to Microsoft.
I mean, but Samsung's always put the Samsung browser in.
Yeah.
All Samsung phones. In fact, Benchmark's much better than Chrome. I think most, as far as I know, most handset makers put their own, you know, I'm sure it's based on WebKit. I'm sure it's very similar to Chrome.
Well, I think from our perspective, though, the big advice, or the big thing I have to say anyway, is that I just would say to Google, don't do what Microsoft did. You know, you have two examples of how to deal with the EU from the perspective of an American tech giant. One is Intel, which settled immediately, and you never heard about that again. In fact, most people probably don't remember it happened.
That's right. They didn't even pay a very big fine, as I remember.
Yeah, and then you have Microsoft, which, by the way, is still paying the price for its intransigence and belligerence during its American and EU antitrust trials. And my God, it's like a movie where the guy says, you know, if you don't sit down, I'm going to give you another fine. He's like, I'm not sitting down. I'm going to give you another fine.
Yeah.
I mean, Microsoft
Breakfast
could fine
Club.
And fine and fine. Yeah. And they were very belligerent. Remember, they met the letter of the requirement, but not the spirit of it. And I can't remember if that was the browser or the media player or the document dump that they put out or what. You know, they used to just really toy with the antitrust regulators, and man, did that not go well. And so I think you need to Google, that is. I think Google needs to really think this one through, because maybe there's some common sense middle ground they can reach that won't result in a decade of fighting the EU and losing for winning.
I'm not against the idea of trying to keep a level playing field, and that's, I'm sure, what the EU thinks they're doing. But look at the cookie thing. Actually, this was more of a privacy thing, and this was Margaret again, they decided cookies were the evil bane of all browsing, and now you cannot go to a site that really pretty much anywhere, because most sites have European users, that doesn't have that big cookie banner.
Yep.
And it's just an annoyance, and it doesn't. And of course, everybody just says okay. And it's a huge waste of time, money for the websites.
Agree, we'd be better off without Europe, right?
Well, it's just dumb, and it's a perfect example of how this kind of privacy legislation accomplished nothing. In California, we had a Proposition 65, which said that everybody had to notify you if there are chemicals known to cause cancer somewhere on the premises. Well, everywhere, anywhere you go, there are chemicals known to cause cancer on the premises. I don't care if it's, you know, saccharin or jet fuel. So now, no matter where you go, every business you go has a Prop 65 warning you, there are chemicals that cause cancer, which has the ultimate effect of completely, numbing you to any real dangers. And that's the problem with this cookie thing. It just numbs people. I remember when I was a kid, we went to a coal-burning power plant in Providence, Rhode Island, on Narragansett Bay. And I knew this one well, because every week it would clean its stacks and belch carbon dust onto my windowsill. Every Friday.
We still have three-eyed fish in the bay because of that.
So we went to the plant, and it really was a polluter. I mean, it was just disgusting. But they had signs, green, go green, conserve everywhere. And my teacher said, see all that? that's to numb you to the whole thing.
Sure.
And, oh, we're green. And then you just stop asking questions.
It's like all of Apple's recycled gold.
Yeah, right.
God, we're not just helping the environment. We're improving the environment.
Yeah. So I feel like you can. So sometimes regulation has that effect.
Yeah. I guess, for me, the FTC found that Google violated U.S. antitrust laws several times and then declined to ever, punish them in any way, which is kind of astonishing to me. So I'd like to see this one get fought out. I mean, I'd like to see, Google respond.
But that's contrary to your advice, right? You said they should settle.
Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you what I'd like to see. In other words, what I enjoy is the Godzilla versus King Kong thing, right?
Yeah.
If there's an organization that's as complicated as Google, it's got to be the EU. I mean, this is beautiful. Like, these two things going at it is very, very interesting. But, my advice to Google actually would be, to settle because you will have a voice in what that settlement is, You don't want to get to the point where you're being fined, where they're telling you what to do. And I think with Microsoft in particular, they just didn't do the right thing, behave the right way. And I think they got a more severe punishment than they might have otherwise. One that lasted for a decade. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So settle. Your advice is to settle, but your heart says fight.
Yeah. He selfishly wants there to be a fight because we know how Paul feels about Google and Scroogle. He wants to see them
suffer. He hates
suffer,
Google. Yeah, let's face it. He hates Google.
Yeah.
And I'm not, it is so similar to that.
I use a lot of Google
It
stuff.
Really, it so reminds me of the U.S. DOJ case because, everybody at that point was saying, the OEMs have a choice. They don't have to take Internet Explorer. They don't have to do what Microsoft's telling them to do in terms of promoting their products the way that Microsoft wants them to. But if they didn't, there were financial repercussions. So that, to me, is what's similar about these cases. And, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter today saying it's not a pro-consumer thing that the EU is doing. Well, I don't really think the US DOJ one was consumer-oriented either. I think it was very much about kind of protecting the OEMs and more about that. And I think this case is as well.
For whatever it's worth, EU antitrust law tends to be more competition-related than consumer-related. Right. Although they use the same words you would have seen in the United States, where you say something along the lines, and this behavior results in less choice for consumers.
Right.
And you can show some kind of harm there. But I really do think it is about keeping a level playing field for competition.
Well, and we should point out that in the U.S., Google, oddly enough, does not have nearly the market share that it does in the EU.
That's right.
So in this complaint, Vestager says Google has 90% market share for search services, smartphone operating systems, and app stores.
By the way, just as the show started, Google announced that they now have 1 billion mobile Chrome users.
Yeah.
Not Chrome users, mobile Chrome users.
Well,
you know what? If I were Google, I would have held that announcement.
Yeah,
today.
Timing is not good.
Winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winning through integration.
And the whole idea of antitrust law, which I actually support, is that a company shouldn't use its dominance in one arena to allow it to enter another market and take over another market.
Yeah, let it enter another market.
Right, right. So the fear, it's not so much, in fact, she even says this in her opinion, there's 90% market share as such, not a problem under EU competition law. Mm-hmm. However, dominant companies have a responsibility not to abuse their powerful market position by restricting competition. They're in an unusual position.
Yeah, that's the same thing in the U.S., right? Monopolies are not by themselves illegal.
Right.
But when you abuse that monopoly to gain entry or advantage in other markets, that's against them.
And I think that's appropriate.
I do too.
I just think there is some leeway to debate whether Google is strong-arming phone
I do too, by the way. I actually think this is this is not so clear-cut. I enjoy it on one level because, viscerally, I want to see Google go to town on the EU. That would be fun. But, looking at the actual case and the merits of it and the way that the market has kind of occurred, there's an interesting debate here. It's really not black and white in my eyes. But that said,
Go get them.
Well, they move slowly, right? It's Europe.
It's been a year. This has been a year, she says.
Since she said it. But the charges go back years. And, You know, this risks the thing that was a risk in the U.S. cases, I'm sorry, in the Microsoft cases, which was that by the time this thing gets resolved, it doesn't matter anymore, right? Mm. I mean, it's possible 5 years down the road, we're going to be looking at this and saying, what is Google Chrome? What are they talking about? You know, that we, you know, we've moved on to other things by this point. You know, it's too bad the law couldn't keep up with the technology in a way.
Mm. She's Danish, by the way, if that helps.
She is.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
I'm looking up the pronunciation right now. We've done this before. I don't know why.
Yeah, we did do it.
Why
one time
we're
on the
so?
Show.
Why I am?
We should
so...
spend a little bit of time trying to pronounce Nokia correctly as well.
All right. Well, yes, I always get that email. The women So there's this great site called Forvo where you go and tell people, like if you're Danish, you say, "Oh, this is how you pronounce it."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What? Say it again. I'm sorry.
Makaiti Vesteya.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh wow.
Let's try.
Yeah, that's exactly how I pronounced it earlier.
Magreta
Vesteya.
Magreta
Vesteya. Magreta Vesteya. Magreta Vesteya. Okay, Magreta Vesteya. Magreta Vesteya. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. They're going, Lollipart. So I shouldn't make, you know, it's just different language. And should we do Nokia while we're here?
Sure.
Sure.
As long as we're here. Should we get the Finnish pronunciation?
Yeah.
Nokia.
Just like we say it.
Nokia. By the way, exactly. Thank you. And that's the thing that freaks me out, because for many, many weeks and months Nokia. There, we were getting complaints about it.
Here's
and
that's
people
French.
From Nokia would pronounce it Nokia. And they say, it's not Nokia, it's Nokia. Nokia, whatever, like it's some kind of Italian potato
Nokia.
Pasta.
Not Nokia. It's Nokia. Yeah.
It's okay. Like Alcantara.
Oh, yeah. Boy, did we get tweeted and emailed on that?
I know.
Yep. Well, I know I was saying Alcantara at first. So it's Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Except that's not how Microsoft pronounced it in that
video.
I'm
sorry, so. I can't pronounce some esoteric term from the design world. You know, it's not in the wheelhouse. I'm sorry.
It's cloth.
It's not cloth. It's made from dinosaur bones and old
leaves.
As Leo
said, it's lint.
I know.
It's lint. The best description ever.
And I got suckered, as I mentioned, got suckered into buying Alcantara on my headliner, even though I couldn't pronounce it in my car. I think I did the same. By the way, I did it again. I think my Tesla has Alcantara headliner. Mm. Hey, if it costs more, it must be better, right?
Right.
It works for Apple. It's going to be.
Oh, did I get some hate, by the way? From the Apple fanboys for announcing, because they announced their new MacBook, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. And again, only one Type-C port, and it's still not Thunderbolt 3, even though the new Intel chips, the Skylake chips, are. Mm-hmm. And this HP that you've been talking about, mm-hmm. Thunderbolt 3, three Type-C connectors, mm-hmm. and I can get an i5 or an i7 in it, not an M5 or an N7.
You know, Steve Jobs had this saying that sometimes customers don't know what they want
until
you give it to them.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you give it to them and they tell them that's not what you want, and then you still don't listen. And that's not really the same thing anymore, is it? You know, so, this is not you leading. It's you just being tone deaf.
I really think that Johnny Ive is on sabbatical and that all product updates are on hold because the new iPhone SE is the same as the iPhone 5. Sure. And so I really think Johnny Ive is just on a break. And when he gets back, he's going to take over and just change
What did
everything.
We release?
Because now HP has, by the way, the thinnest laptop.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Much thinner. Well, not much. I mean, I don't know. When you talk much thinner, when you talk millimeters, you can't see the difference.
At a certain angle, it actually disappears.
It's 10.4 millimeters.
Technology.
So yeah. I was at NAB, and HP had their secret meeting room, which had a big mm-hmm. sign in front of it that says, our secret meeting room in the back.
Nice.
And I went there, signed an NDA, hoping to see this new Spectre. And they said, oh, no, we don't have any of those.
Oh well.
Here's the compromise. We made a family compromise. We're gonna have a mixed marriage because Lisa's got the pink MacBook.
Yikes.
Loaded. And I ordered that. And then on Monday I think I get to order the HP, although I don't think it's gonna come for a while. May.
Yeah, I don't think it's maybe May or something.
Yeah. I think it looks beautiful.
I do too. Although it's a little polarizing, right? I mean, some people have said that they're not a big fan of the design, but I think that's the point of...
Well, design is always going to do that.
Yeah.
If you take a stand in anything, mm-hmm.
it's going to be polarizing because some
people I've not noticed that in life, Leo. What do you mean?
So, that's because you never take a stand.
When I go on Twitter, you're saying I could have saved myself a lot of pain if I had just known that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I hope you won't feel bad that I put Linux on it instead of Windows.
No. No.
No, that's...
Don't go there, Leo. Don't.
No. I'm telling you, this is the year of desktop Linux. It's finally here.
You get that little kind of sweet feeling in the corner of your mouth when you got to throw up?
Like, just a little...
It's right there, like in the...
No, we're doing a whole show this week without using the B word.
People are now telling me, please say the B word. We love Paul's face when he's. So I'm not.
It's sort of like the sad Ben Affleck video.
Yes,
right. Just kind of stare off and consider this future that I've gotten myself into.
Yep.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Yep. All I'll say to all of this stuff is you have to love the industry we're in that these kinds of surprises are still possible. And now I'm going to go kill myself.
Mary Jo is Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck. They're asking him.
I wondered how that makes you guys feel and whether it would even affect the film as such.
Well, the interesting thing is that we get the critics who have their personal opinions, and the thing about personal opinions is that they always come from a place and there's a preconceived idea.
The best version of this is the one where I think it plays the sounds of silence or something.
Yeah, I think it's going to do that. I feel like it might do that.
What is going to really...
And it zooms in on Ben just looking off in the distance and... Yep. Feeling sad.
This might actually just be the original normal version.
It actually might be. It's not the meme. Oh, poor Ben. He just looks... Henry's just going on and on saying, well, reviews, reviews.
Bash on Windows.
Anyway.
Except at the end he says PowerShell.
I'm sorry. All right. What else? Anything else to say about... Oh, now I already forgot it. Margarita Vestanya.
That was pretty good.
Margarita Vestanya. Next year, I think. No, I think that's it.
I'm going to Denmark in the fall, and I'm going to pay for this, I know.
Look her up.
Yeah. She's hot, actually. She's quite attractive.
Yeah.
That's a terrible... I'm sorry, Mary Jo. And
that
I apologize to women everywhere. That is not appropriate.
No, hold on a second. You don't need to apologize for this. She's a powerful, intelligent woman. There's nothing to be ashamed of here.
She looks great in a turtleneck.
Yep. She's rocking a turtleneck.
I wouldn't want to face her in court, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
She's nonsense.
And what's interesting is that I think she's the commissioner for privacy. So, but maybe it's all antitrust. I don't know. I might be wrong on that.
Well, she's the European... commissioner of the European Commission. Like
she's a commissioner,
the lead antitrust
of the European Commission.
Yeah, she's the European commissioner, as it were.
So there's only one.
Well, she's in charge of antitrust,
right?
Among other things, but yeah.
And it's let's not forget pronounced
Nokia.
Okay, just checking.
Google has 12 weeks from today to respond.
Okay.
So I remember there was Mario Monti was this guy one time, and then I can't remember his first name. Joaquin, maybe Almunia.
Right.
Yep.
Was her predecessor, I believe. These people are all in my pantheon of heroes. You know, I have like marble busts of these people in my office.
Okay. So she, I'm just looking for her title, but unfortunately, I'm kind of having a loop on how to pronounce her name.
She's the competition commissioner.
Competition commissioner. What a great title.
It is. It's great.
I'm the competition commissioner.
Yep.
Jazzy.
Or as we call her here at Windows Weekly, the commish.
By the way, the commish. Kudos to Microsoft. Although you have to think there was a certain kind of bit of joy in the fact that they could turn the tables on the DOJ and sue them.
Yeah. And honestly, the big thing there for me is to be so utterly right about this topic.
Yeah.
Right? I think
a lot of times... So we're talking about Microsoft suing the DOJ we should introduce it.
For
I assume by now everyone can just read my mind.
Suing, you know, suing implies like we're going after you because you've done the, you know, you're bad, bad people. But really, what they really have done is they've gone to court to ask the court to tell the DOJ you can't continue to, you know, you can't continue to force us to stay silent when we receive a court order. And, you know, and Microsoft pointed out, what was it, 2,500 court orders in the last 18 months, all of them requiring that Microsoft not
more
say
and more of them
anything.
Are the secrecy things. Yeah. And the secrecy part of it is there's no end date on it.
Than half of those have no end date, like forever. You can never, ever tell anybody. And Microsoft just wants a ruling from the court.
This is unconstitutional.
They say it's unconstitutional. That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to go after the right to face your accuser. I don't know if, I mean, which is certainly, you know,
That's part of it. Yep.
Cherished, right? The right against unreasonable search and seizure. It's not quite that. I think the DOJ makes a strong case that you don't want to, if we're investigating a terrorist cell, you don't want Microsoft to go get on the phone with them and say, hey, guys, I just want you to know, you're under investigation. That I
understand. By the way, I'm sure some small percentage of these cases is that kind of thing.
Right.
But I think the majority of it is not. And they've gotten really comfortable with cloaking everything in secrecy. So
that's the problem. It's just it's like kind of on automatic now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what Microsoft is saying, right? Is look, not some of them it might be justified. We just don't want it to be the default.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all about their whole campaign to show people we care about your privacy in the cloud, because the cloud is their future. So they need people to trust them.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a reason Apple's fighting on devices, because that's what Apple sells. And Microsoft is fighting in the cloud because that's Microsoft's current and future business.
Well, but then, Mary Jo, is it really public relations or is it a genuine suit?
It's a real suit, but it's for, I mean, I feel like it's for the campaign to show people that Microsoft is taking their privacy seriously. Because, you know, if you don't trust your vendor in the cloud, you're not going to put your information in their cloud. So they're trying to be very much ahead of the curve, leading the way. I feel like they are really doing a lot of these legal actions to show people we're serious about this. We know we're getting a bad rap, but we're going to bat.
And they're smart not to tie it to an individual case, right? I think one of the big problems with that Apple case is they decided to take a stand on a known terrorist iPhone. Yep. The guy didn't even own the iPhone. The government that did own it gave them permission to break into it. And it's like they chose that case. Like, guys, seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, Microsoft is very smart by basing this on many, many cases and just having an overwhelming amount of data about the requests they've gotten, what percentage of them have secrecy orders attached to them, why these things violate the law. It's very nicely done. It was a smart way to handle a lawsuit if you have to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Plus the headlines were so classic. Microsoft sues the DOJ. When you see that, it's like, wow.
Irony alert. We've been waiting 15 years for this, you know.
But they're on the side of the angels on this one.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah. And again, I would say that they're not asking the court to say, oh, you can never keep it a secret. They're just saying, we want the court to stop, you know, doing that by
default. And by the way, that's the kind of pragmatic middle ground that I've been talking about, whether it's about the Apple case or about the Google thing we just talked about. I mean, I think too often with these things, when it's privacy related, especially, they're kind of hot button topics. People get very emotional and they go off in these very radical black or white, you know, lines where it can only be one or the other. And I think this is smart because obviously there are going to be cases that involve national security or law enforcement actions or whatever that require some secrecy for some amount of time.
Yeah.
It's not unreasonable. I think the government just got really soft and these secrecy things were so easy to get, the secrecy orders, that they just kept doing it.
You know?
I think Microsoft is saying, no, you can't. That's illegal.
I would think a court would support them on this. They're doing this in the Ninth Circuit, which is a very liberal court. And it's possible the DOJ would then appeal and take it to the Supreme Court. I don't know. That depends. Mm-hmm. I think this is I have to think the DOJ is feeling the same way. Like, maybe we've gone a little too far here. I don't know.
Yeah, and by the way, my advice to the DOJ would be to settle this case.
Just do it like Google. What would Google do, DOJ? Just ask. Ask yourself, What would Google do?
Paul's going into the legal advice business.
Yeah, I know. What's that guy from the OJ trial wanted to settle everything? The
original Shapiro. Robert Shapiro. Yeah. Did you watch that OJ show, by the way?
Yeah. That was fantastic.
Oh, man, that was good.
Fantastic.
I really enjoyed reliving the...
Still not sure he did it, but it was a good show.
Oh, what? No.
Talk about preponderance of evidence.
Double jeopardy, my friend. He cannot be tried again. Unfortunately, he's in prison for holding up a sports memorabilia ring in Vegas.
Right.
But so, you know, I guess it all works out in the end, doesn't it?
Get away with murder. Yeah. I think you think you're okay for anything at this
point.
Might be that.
Let's take a break. I have a confession.
Let's silently consider our words.
Let's think about what we're saying. A little time out. Yeah. Count to 10. There will be blood. No, there will be repercussions. No. Sure. I want to make a confession. You know, I'm late a lot for this show. And I blame it all, frankly, on my Casper. It's just
went a completely different direction than I thought it was going.
You didn't think I was going that way. I'm living the dream.
You're still the best in the business. I
I'm living the dream on my Casper. It is it's the best mattress I've ever had. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. By the way, it's not just the Casper for me. It's also the Casper pillow. They're piling on now. Which they sent me a pillow the other day. I said, what? There's a Casper pillow? Yes, there is. So now my head is just as gently cradled as my bottom on my Casper's. Casper mattresses, they're made in the U.S. They're revolutionizing the industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms. You know, all the reseller does is add to the cost. And you might say, but wait a minute, Leo. I hear you right now. But wait a minute, Leo. I need the showroom because I need a lie on my mattress before I bought it. Yeah, how's that working for you? I did that last five mattresses I bought, and they never were quite right because it's broad daylight. The salesperson's looking at you with kind of funny. Anyway, you're going to take your shoes off. You lie on that thing for 3 seconds. You go, yeah, that's fine. Even if you lie there for 5 minutes, that's not a good way to test it. With a Casper, you get 100 nights. 100 nights, you try the mattress. In fact, if you want, keep your old mattress, put it in the garage just in case. 100 nights, within the first 100 nights, you can call Casper. They'll come and get it, refund you every penny. It'll cost you nothing. Because they know you want to try before you buy, and this is how they do it. Now, it's going to come in a very compact box, which I love. That's why I also sent my son a Casper. He's in the dormitories at CU Boulder. Actually, he was in the dorms, and he was on like the third floor. And the, you know, narrow doors. And he said, I can't, this mattress is disgusting. I said, of course. And I sent him a Casper. Comes in a box. He was easily able to get upstairs. Open up the box and whoosh, the mattress becomes full size. It's magic. And there you have it. It's cool in the, it breathes. It's cool in the summer. You always sleep cool. It's fantastic. Casper's mattresses, Casper's pillows. You can get them right now. $500 for a twin, $950 for the full-size king. That's a great savings because they don't have the middleman to pay. And we're going to give you an additional $50 off just because you're watching. Go to Casper, CASPER.com/windows, promo code windows. Terms and conditions apply. For details on the terms and conditions, go to Casper.com/terms. Otherwise, Casper.com/windows. Use the promo code windows, $50 off. The best mattress you ever have. Or your money back. Couldn't be a better deal. But prepare to be late for work. Because the alarm goes off and I go, I'm just going to lie here.
My son also uses a Casper mattress, but I think the reason he's late all the time is because he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've decided to go back to that where I go to bed at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't have to get up for class, you know, first period, zero period. I just can lie in. But by the way, there's no accident that my workday starts at 11 a.m. my time.
There's a reason, actually, you could never be a teenager again, and it's because you lack the aptitude to half-ass everything in life to the degree that an actual teenager does effortlessly.
Yes. Yes,
it's true. Like, you just, it would not be possible to mail it in to the degree.
Oh, I mail it in. Believe me, I mail it in. There are people disagreeing with you right now, Paul.
No, no. Okay, well, what I meant was,
I mail it in, and I'm good at it. It's like Larry King. He said, I don't have to read the book. I don't need to read the book.
Right.
In fact, it's better. He had a whole thing. It's better if I don't read the book, because then I'm like the listener. I don't know anything. And I ask the questions the listener would ask.
I do this for you.
I do it. I do it to make myself better. I do no research.
Yep.
That makes me a better host. I can't believe it's been 10 years since the Xbox 360. Actually, I can a little bit, because we went with Tech TV, didn't we? I think we did to the Xbox. Oh, no, that was the original Xbox launch. The
original Xbox, yeah.
To Seattle.
2001. So
yeah.
2005, right, was the launch of the original Xbox. I'm sorry, of the 360.
360.
That was a big one for me, because they were talking about more than video games by the 360 and integration with Windows. And I thought at the time, this is maybe something I should look into. And also to transition from PC-based gaming to console-based gaming, which is a hard transition if you're really used to keyboard and mouse.
Now we're seeing Mary Jo is sad Ben Affleck. She's just kind of,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I have a connection to the story about the Xbox 360. I don't know if Paul remembers this. About 2 weeks ago, I said to him, my nephew, who's 11, who's an Xbox 360 user, is very worried about Microsoft dropping support for the 360.
Yeah.
And so I had told him about Paul. I'm like, yeah, I work with this guy. He's like close to my age, but he still plays video games and stuff. He's
in many ways still a child.
So he said, ask your friend Paul, does he think that Microsoft's going to drop support for the 360?
Good question.
Yeah. And by the way, the answer is still no. I mean,
I know. So today they said it definitively. No.
Yeah.
There were rumors that they might.
Do you trust
them? Well, I think they wanted to do this sooner, but the Xbox One didn't take off to the tune that the PS4 did. And I think that forced them to maybe keep it in market a little longer. But the support thing is interesting because they haven't set an end date on this, right? You know, they, in other words, as of today, they still support Xbox Live. Your games will still work. You can still buy them as long as they're still around. They'll work in backwards compatibility mode on the Xbox One going forward. You know, well, yeah, okay, but I mean, it's, you know, we'll support, you know, if you bought one, the warranty is still valid, of course. I mean, that's the law. But, I mean, it's not going to be forever, right? I mean,
he was worried about Xbox Live being updated to support the 360, because he said there was a rumor in his school that that Microsoft this Christmas season was going to drop that.
I mean, here's the issue is this holiday season, you're not going to see very many games come out for the Xbox 360, right? Despite the installed base.
Yeah, developers might abandon it even if Microsoft doesn't.
True.
And these things kind of go hand in hand. I don't play a wide range of video games. Most of the games I play with start with the words Call of. But, for most of that run, Call of Duty 2, which launched alongside the original Xbox 360, by the way, back in 2005, all the way through last year's release was Advanced Warfare, the year before other Advanced Warfare. Let's say Call of Duty Ghosts. I played pretty much exclusively on the Xbox 360. And one thing that just happened this past holiday season was when Black Ops 2 came out, Black Ops 3, sorry. The Xbox 360 version of that game is terrible. It doesn't just look terrible. They're never going to put up map packs. It's just, you know, it's clearly the end. You know, they've sent this signal that regardless of whatever Microsoft is doing supporting the console, Activision, or the developer who makes this particular game, is not putting the resources into the 360 like they used to. So, you know, it's kind of happening anyway.
But the games you have now will continue to work. And more importantly, Microsoft will patch it if there's patches needed, that kind of thing. Right. I mean,
Windows 7 is supported, right?
What does it mean to support an old game console? I mean, nobody's going to develop new games for it, so.
Yeah.
And I think the reason the rumor is spreading through his school, his sixth grade class, is because Microsoft put Xbox 360 compatibility in the Xbox One.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of saying, hey, you could still play those games, but you're going to, you know, there's new hardware.
You know, and we don't, I bet we don't have this in the notes. Let me just make sure. Yeah, we don't. But I think the other interesting thing to point out here is that there have been a bunch of rumors recently about parts related to a new Xbox One, and E3's coming up, and we heard new hardware, and this is all kind of coalescing, and maybe this is the right time, because the thing is, once you get rid of the Xbox 360, what you're missing is anything that costs less than $350. Mm. If you look at the pricing on the 360 today, it's about $150 to $200 for an Xbox 360. That is going to be a big hole, and that hole cannot be filled this holiday season by remaining stock of 360, right? Mm-hmm. One would maybe presume that stuff would be gone by then. So I think this lends some credence to the notion that Microsoft will at E3 or otherwise before the holiday season this year announce a cost-reduced Xbox One, perhaps a digital media-oriented Xbox One, you know, the Xbox One that doesn't play games kind of thing. Obviously, there's talk of a high-end Xbox One, which would be like a 4K-capable console, similar to what Sony is expected to be doing. And maybe that the shipment of that device would push down the existing device further from a price perspective. But I think some version of one of those things is what's going to be happening. Mm.
I was surprised to see they're still making Xbox 360s. I mean, were they actually still making them?
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I mean,
that was interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Before Microsoft stopped talking about, you know, console sales numbers and everything, I don't remember when this was exactly, but a year ago-ish, a year and a half ago, something, there was some kind of, you know, there were quarters where the 360 had pretty much clearly outsold the Xbox One, and you know, maybe like one of the holiday quarters or something, and it was like, okay, so that's interesting. And then they stopped talking about it, you know, and I think for a little while there, the Xbox 360 was going just fine, you know. Mm-hmm. It was certainly, whatever the percentage was, it was a big chunk of the sales. And I don't know, maybe that's finally dropped off of the face of the earth, or maybe they now have reached a point where they see it as a negative because it's really taking away from the Xbox One. But again, you can't leave the Xbox One hanging out there at $350 and not have something less expensive.
Mm-hmm. I like your theory that it kind of maybe tips the hand of, that there's something else coming in the lineup for Xboxes.
Just because, a theory, but it seems like it.
Yeah, you know, this happened with Surface. I don't know if you remember, but when Microsoft introduced, I think it was a Surface Pro 2, they basically stopped making the Surface Pro. And that became the next thing, like the flagship. Yep. So this is, you know, we're not going to make any more 360s because there's going to be something new in the family to complement Xbox One. So we'll have
Has to be something there.
Right.
In the Xbox, I'm sorry, in the Surface market, you know, it's interesting to me that Microsoft still sells Surface Pro 3 today, right? So even though this is Surface Pro 4, that the other thing is still around, and it's sort of
I bet they're not making strategy.
Oh, I bet they're not making new ones. Okay. I don't know. You think so?
Yeah, because I think now if you look at whenever they talk about Surface Pro, it's 4. It's almost always 4 they're talking about.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, a lot of people, I think, go and look at it.
Yeah. I think, you know, they're selling out the channel now on Surface Pro 3.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the type of group that would publicize how they were doing things. But
they may not even know.
Yeah.
We still they have know.
Why did we make so many of these? Didn't we get over that a few years ago?
All right. Well,
just a guess.
Happy birthday, Xbox 360, I guess that's
it. I'm going to have to dig up all my old Xbox 360 stuff. Yeah. Maybe I'll do a little retrospective post tomorrow.
Yeah.
Set to the sun, the way we were.
Although I still think fondly, I guess, you know, hell, I think fondly of my Dreamcast. I still think fondly of my Xbox, the original. Because that I had modded. I put a hard drive, big hard drive in there. I had every game on the hard drive. I eventually gave it to my mom so my nephews could play it, but they've kind of outgrown it. They have a PlayStation now.
Sure.
So I wonder if I can get it back from my mom, because there were some great games on there.
The Xbox 360 is fantastic.
But it's not like the video quality is massively better now, is it? Maybe it is.
You know what? Side by side with games, you didn't notice it.
You could see side by side, but
when you play a game, especially one that's made in the past 5 years or whatever, they look fine. I mean, they look nice. I mean, it's not like they're terrible, but there is definitely, it's not going from 1080p to 4K or anything like that, obviously, but there is a difference. But it's interesting because people look back fondly on XP in the same way, but both XP and the Xbox 360 were in their own ways deeply flawed products, right? Both of which required massive fixes. And just by virtue of being in the market for so long, they kind of overcame that kind of thing. And actually, the whole red ring of death issue that they had with the Xbox 360 was behind my theory that Microsoft could do whatever they want with the next Xbox because their fans have already proven themselves to be so faithful, they'll put up with anything. And then the Xbox One happened, and like everything else I pontificate about, it was proven completely wrong immediately because the world just doesn't work that way. It's not logical, you know. Very interesting.
PlayStation 4.5 is probably going to be announced at E3. Those rumors seem to be now getting much more serious. Yeah. And a 4K display. Actually, I'm actually glad because I never bought a PlayStation 4, and I think I might now do it because I do want to try their VR solution.
Yeah, I do too. And I was actually, just before the podcast, playing Call of Duty on the PlayStation 4 because, of course, now with this game being the first, the map packs are released first on PlayStation before the Xbox, and that was never the case before, going back many, many years. Yeah. Yeah. So I have to fumble finger my way through a game because Microsoft couldn't get a deal with Activision. It's unbelievable.
I mean, this is just going to leave, unfortunately, the Xbox One even further in the dust because there's no 4K support on the Xbox One. Will they do
the same thing, right? Yeah, actually, my theory is that they will.
Yeah. At E3, you think? That's June.
I have heard literally nothing about that, but other than some kind of new hardware.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I mean,
could be a new controller. But there will be new hardware.
Is it a little discouraging for people? I mean, I had the choice, and I went all on the Xbox One.
Yep.
For people who did that?
I don't know. I can't speak for the world, but for myself, no. And in fact, that's an interesting point because when you consider a lot of the negative news around Windows Phone, and then you have this kind of group of people who are fans and they don't care and they don't want to hear it. And it's fine for them and that kind of thing. You know, you're really kind of making lemonade there because the real issue is that the apps just don't exist on that platform. And so it's great that it works for you. But the truth is, this is not something you could really recommend to people generally because there's just so much missing. But that's not the case on the Xbox One. So whatever the sales figures are, if in the worst case scenario, which is possible, that the PS4 is outselling the Xbox One 2-1 somehow, even if that were true, they've still sold roughly 20 million of these things. The game library is vast. All of the consumer apps are there for, you know, digital media and all that kind of stuff. There's incredible Windows integration occurring now. It's not the same situation. So maybe it's because in this scenario, the Xbox One isn't Windows Phone, it's iPhone, right? It's not number one, but it still sells really well, and developers don't ignore it. So it really isn't the same issue. It's fine. You know, it's not the same kind of disaster.
Yeah. No, I'm with
it's
you.
It's not a disaster at all,
yeah,
I should say.
No, I'm with you.
That said, I too will buy the PS4.5, whatever they call it, the second they
but
announce
I won't,
course.
You know, it's funny because I can't replace the Xbox One in my media center.
I know.
Because I still do it. I do the pass-through, and I use it with a TiVo, and, you know, all those things, that's why I bought it, you know, which is probably not a big part of the market. I mean, people buy it for gaming.
I mean, people complain a lot about various issues with the Xbox One, but honestly, the thing that really blows my mind is that they ship it in a box that's the size of a Volkswagen. It has no user serviceable anything. You can't pull the hard drive out of a slot and replace it. You can't upgrade anything. And that blows my mind. You know, the Xbox 360 was smaller and more elegant looking than the machine it replaced, but it had a system for doing that, which, you know, wasn't great in the beginning, but got, you know, more elegant over time. At the very least, what I'd like to see is a smaller, thinner, lighter, less noisy Xbox One that is just more appropriate for the living room.
You can do that. It's been a few years. The times change.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you can do that now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the chips are out there that you would need to give it 4K support and a little bit better oomph and run it cooler. I think, you know, Intel's definitely made improvements in that area.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an Intel chip in there, though, is it?
Isn't it? I can't remember. The Intel was the original one. Yeah. I think it's an AMD chip.
No, it's not PowerPC.
It was a 360.
It's AMD. Yeah, 360. Okay.
AMD, yeah.
Ah, the Red Ring of Death. Who could ever forget? My little heater in
Hey, the Xbox One has been very reliable. I will say that.
I haven't had one problem. How many red rings did I have on the Xbox 360? I had three or four.
Oh, by the way, I'm positive I had rotated eight 360s through Microsoft support for that.
That was really, really terrible. Yeah, it's hard to remember, Mary Jo, but that was. And you know what? There's something about Xbox because the goodwill was sufficient. Had any other company done that, I think you would have heard.
Didn't they take a huge write down, like a billion?
More than a billion and a half write down on repairs.
So although for whatever it's worth, I mean, the S console I've been using for a while has never had a problem. It still works fine.
They fixed it.
I would say so. Yeah.
But boy, they didn't fix it.
That's not even the newest generation of the console.
No, they fixed it, but the original design was fatally flawed. And yet people loved it, and they put up with it. And thank goodness Microsoft gave them free, painless repairs. I mean, that's part of the reason.
In May of the year that thing shipped, and it shipped probably November that year, I went out to Redmond West or wherever they were at the time, wherever Xbox was at the time, and I met with them, and they showed me I tell the story all the time, but it was the development workstation. It was two tower Power Mac G5s linked together.
Right.
And it had a controller wired to it, and that's how you would play the 360 at the time. And he was going through all the demos and, look, this is what the screen looks like and this is how the interface works, and he'd go into a game, go out of a game and everything. And I kept looking over at the machine and I was like, can I ask you a question? How are you? Oh, and they had announced what the form factor was. So they had a shell that was just, you know, a white box. This is what we're going to ship it in. I was like, how are you going to fit that gigantic thing over there into this tiny box? And he said, oh, no. He goes, we got guys working on that. You know, like this was the problem, right? The Red Ring of Death stuff was essentially, you know, compacting all of that junk into a tiny box. So, you know, remember the power brick for this thing was itself the size of a Volkswagen?
Yeah.
You know, it was just a heat and it was a disaster. You know, the original one. And they eventually figured it out, but my God.
Let's see. All right, I got my Surface Book here. I'm ready to push the button on the update. I'm very excited. There's a new firmware update for Surface Book. It's going to fix everything, right?
So, first of all, there's about 117 firmware updates.
Yeah,
it's going to require multiple reboots.
Okay, well, this is no better time to start than the present then, right? Let's get going here.
I'm not sure that anyone on Earth has actually gotten all of them installed correctly.
No.
Yet. Really? There's a correct and an incorrect way?
No, I don't think there's anything you could do. What I think is that there's something wrong.
There's something wrong. Not with my Surface Book. With my Surface Book.
Leo, you've had a good 30 days. It's fine. You know, it's time to get back on the grind.
And you know what's weird about this, too? Not everyone is having problems.
Just like always, right?
I was going to say, right. So
some people are reporting they're getting blue screen of death when they install this. And other people are like, I didn't get the blue screen of death.
That's terrible.
So ironically is not the right word, but coincidentally, the firmware update that triggers that blue screen of death is the one that will not install on my Surface Book.
Well, there you go.
And install there. Yeah.
So, all right. So now you're Insider Ring, Paul, or no?
No. Right now it's on the is that right?
I'm going to even be worse because I'm on Fast Ring because I wanted that B word.
No, you know what? Actually, I think it is on Fast Ring. I think it is.
Right. I have not updated this since last week, so I don't, you know, I haven't seen it since the second Tuesday. So, I'm running it now. So you're saying
I'm on Fast. I am on Fast Ring. Yeah.
NVIDIA driver update for GeForce GPU. Microsoft driver update for Surface UEFI. Microsoft driver update for Surface System Aggregator firmware. Intel Corporation driver update for Intel HD Graphics 520.
There's lots of camera firmware updates on this.
Lots of Surface dock updates.
Wow.
There's also another sleep hibernation update, which I've seen people saying, I think this actually fixed my sleep issues, but... Who knows?
You're wrong.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Wow. So there are firmware updates, a few for the Surface Pro 3, but most of them are for Surface Pro 4 and the Surface Book. But what's really interesting to me is people started having the blue screen of death problem. Then somebody who I think works for Microsoft went on Reddit and started trying to solve their problems for them.
like tech support?
Yeah, like the tech support person. And people are saying that's actually helping. Whoever that is is helping. So, yeah. I think I would wait, if you can, to apply these.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's downloading, but I guess I can.
Oh, no.
That was a mistake.
Well, no, you should try it.
What could possibly...
I
should try it. We need more data points, right? I'm going to be a data point. All right.
Right. I only have so many computers in my home.
I will be a data point. So this is Fast Ring. I'm downloading the drivers I just mentioned.
You listed the ones you read were the ones you see in Windows.
That's all I see here. NVIDIA driver update, because GeForce GPU, HD.
You'll see more when you reboot.
Oh, because then it'll be another set. But none of the are... Oh, yeah. There's a new one. Camera front. IR camera front. So that's for the Hello camera. Okay.
Yep. What could go wrong?
None of those are the BSODs or are any... Which one's it? Which is the one that causes the blue screen? I would like to know that. So I'm ready.
It's the Intel Corporation driver update for Intel Control Logic.
Oh, I haven't gotten that one yet.
Oh, I do have an error number.
So that's the one you can't install.
Somebody asked me if I had an error number, but I do, and I didn't look at
it. So I'm on build 14316 RS1 release dot 160402 dot 2217.
Yep.
Yep.
You'll be fine.
Or as the insiders call it, 2217. Okay, it's almost done. Oh, here's another one. Host controller. Oh, there's more coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just got that one that you were mentioning. Uh-oh. They're just coming in. All right. So I'm going to... So preparing to install updates. I guess I don't have a choice at this point, so we'll just kind of move ahead.
Just go with the flow.
Is it going to fix that jiggly orange screen?
Yeah, people said it fixed the screen flickering. I saw people saying that.
Good, okay. Oh, my God.
Yay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is their signature hardware. This is Microsoft's, crown jewel in their hardware line.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Let's take a little tiny break while the downloads install. And then you'll hear a howl of pain from me later.
Yep.
You know, fortunately, and actually this is kind of good timing, I run Carbonite Online Backup. So I'm not completely messed up. If this doesn't go well, I can go back and join the regular people who are not insiders. Carbonite Online Backup is a great solution for anybody, Mac or PC, home or office, because it's the kind of backup you need. Now, this is an adjunct to whatever you're doing. You know, a lot of people say, I got a hard drive that I back up to. And maybe some of you are super good and you have two hard drives. I've recommended this. You take one to work every week and one you back up locally and then you swap them, right? So you have two backups. That's good. In my opinion, I'm not alone on this, you need three backups. I think you need two different, because one copy of data is not backed up. Even if it's the drive says backup drive, if that's the only, like you deleted the original and you have only one copy, that's not a backup. One copy is not a backup. Two copy, you're better, but three is the best because it's highly unlikely that you'd lose all three. And then the other thing to really encourage your, reliability is two different forms of media. So that you're not all in on hard drives or all in on whatever, DVDs or cloud. And one absolutely must be cloud. Off-site, I guess, is what we say. But I like cloud. And that's why I love Carbonite. It does some other things I think all backups should do. So you may be using Microsoft backup to a hard drive. That's fine. Keep doing that. But you also want something running transparently in the background. You won't know it's there. You pay once a year, so you just set it, forget it. It backs up automatically. So there's no, I have to remember to back up. You don't have to set a cron job or whatever they, you know, the task manager. You don't have to do that. It just does it. You don't have to, whenever you're online, it's always backing up. So that means if you change a file, it's immediately backed up. And on Windows, it does versioning. Now, that's really important if you get bit by ransomware, because you can say, well, even if that encrypted file got backed up, you could say, well, go back to the one just before that. That'll be still good. So this really is the solution you need. It really, if you have a, you know, Microsoft backup sitting next to your computer and you're very smart, you've set it up so it does it automatically, then you get ransomware, and then it backs up the encrypted files. Boom, you're dead. Have an offsite backup. Have versioning. Have Carbonite. And it couldn't be more affordable. As little as $5 a month for everything on a single PC. And they have plans, of course, for servers, external drives, businesses, all of that stuff. Go to Carbonite.com. Look at a plan. Check it out. If you use our offer code Windows, easy to remember, you'll get 2 months free when you buy. But do the free trial. That's what I recommend everybody do. Just make sure you say Windows when you do the free trial. More than 1.5 million homes and small businesses trust Carbonite. I trust Carbonite. You should trust Carbonite. And again, when you're doing stuff like, you know, updating your Windows machine, and you're going to get the blue screen. You don't have to. It's like, no big deal. I got my data backed up. Carbonite. Offer code Windows. We're talking Windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. All right. Please wait while we install a system update. This is that firmware update because it's got a little progress bar.
Yeah.
And nothing's going
on. Mine
was
orange.
Yeah. You know what they do? They send a different update to everybody just to see. And then they say, which of you
didn't get the orange one?
Oh, you got the black update.
That's the good one.
Yeah. What's the number down there in the corner? So this is firmware right now, obviously, right? This is that, you know, that's good. Whenever I see a firmware update on my Surface, I smile.
Really? You don't get a little lump
you
in
do.
Your throat?
Well, it can only get better. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
You're not giving Microsoft enough credit.
It can only help. Yeah. You know, is it too late to put Linux on here? Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. I put it on my Dell because I had the Surface. I said, I don't need the Dell 13 XPS anymore as a Windows machine. I've got the best Windows machine on the market. The one, the crown jewel of the Microsoft hardware line. And I spent crown jewel money, too. This is like the Kohinoor diamond of Surfaces.
It's the 1980s Jaguar car of luxury PCs.
You love looking at it. Don't try to drive it.
Do not step on the gas.
My friend had a 12-cylinder XKE when I was in sixth grade. And you're right. His dad,
right?
His dad never got the beautiful. I mean, oh, my God. Gorgeous car.
Yep.
Gorgeous
car. If only it could drive.
It had a hood that went for miles. You'd sit here and it'd be like in the distance, you would see the street.
Right.
Because the hood.
The event horizon.
Way out there.
The roof was literally an event horizon.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah. It was. Oh, they were beautiful.
Edge. This is actually very, very important. I'm very glad to see Edge is going to support WebM and VP9.
There's almost nothing to add to that.
I know.
Well, the deal is... So HTML5 wisely, I think, included a video tag bracket, you know, angle bracket, video bracket, but unwisely never specified the codec that would for what whatever would play in there. So not Flash, but something. And most people are using, unfortunately, H.264 to H.265, which is encumbered by MPEG LA. Well, I had a brief flash of orange. Brief flash of orange and then disappeared. Now it's turning on the camera, looking for me, making sure it's me. Oh, the eye has gotten even more active. Could not recognize you. Okay. Now I'm putting in my pin.
It's a promising sign.
Oh, it did. It did recognize me. Hello, Leo Laporte. Hello. No blue. Mm-hmm. I see no blue. Let me run the update again, make sure I got everything.
No, you didn't. It's not that simple, Leo.
Preparing to install. No, they're just a definition update for Windows Defender. Well,
really?
Yeah, so far.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I was going to say. Oh, look at that. AV Stream Camera 2500. I didn't even know I had one.
There you go.
Update for Intel RCSI2 host controller. That's the one that gives you the blue screen, Paul? Or you can't install?
Intel Control Logic.
Control Logic, got that one. And Image Signal Processor 2500. And then can't install updates. Click this message to fix.
Yeah, it's not going to fix it.
We need to start a separate... Oh, my God, this is crazy talk.
Yep. What you are now reading is a message you have never seen before in
never
Windows.
Saw it.
Right. Yep. Leo, it's important to remember at this point, your data is where you left it.
Your files are where you left
right
them.
Right where you left them.
Right where you left them. A restart is required. Restart now. All right. Mm. There we go. Let's see. It's scary. Orange for a moment.
It is orange. That's weird. That is
That's
just
refreshing.
Not the right color. It's Ubuntu-like.
It's Ubuntu. It is Ubuntu-like. I feel like I'm in the desert veldt.
Maybe it's supposed to be Redstone's color. Is that the color of Redstone?
It's
like reddish orange?
No, I don't.
Redstone's red.
This is the only one that has that color. I don't know.
Really? Don't know. You've never seen that color?
I don't see it.
What?
I don't see that.
Oh,
color
I have a special orange Surface Book. But I should say I bought this
really
at retail.
Strange.
Oh, it's okay. Looking for me. Hello.
Quick.
Hi. How are you? Good to see you. It's got me again. It flash orange. All right. It's running. Let me
That's
check.
How you know it's alive.
Let me check updates, see if there's any more.
Oh, there's more.
There was problem installing some updates. Intel
yes,
Signal Processor 2500, error 800F0203. Let's do that again, shall we? Is that the one that you can't install?
No. But it sounds like it's the same error. So
the reason it's a big deal that Edge is going to support this, as I was talking, was that the problem with H.264265 is MPEG-LA encumbers it, and there's always this potential that they say, oh, we're not going to charge you. But there's always this potential. It's not open. And Google, of all people, has said, no, no. We're going to indemnify WebM and VP9. We say it doesn't have, you know, it's patent free, it's royalty free, no licenses. So I think that should be the standard for HTML5.
Now it will become the standard.
I think it's now, this is it. It's put it over the edge, kind of quote. Because now we've got Microsoft and Google. I think Apple announced they were going to do this too in Safari. So that's it. It's now we have a standard, so this is actually a very big, important step in the acceptance of HTML5. There were a problem installing some updates. We'll try again later.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Well, good. So, but it's working.
Yeah, didn't get a blue screen.
Not get a blue screen. You didn't,
right,
but
okay.
I don't think I got the update that causes maybe the blue screen. Yeah, right? Yeah. Is that possible?
So there's a fix of sorts out there for getting these things updated.
But maybe I should.
I don't know. In my case, I'm not so sure I want to do it because the one that is not installing for me is the one that is causing blue screens for people. So it's kind of a tough call.
We'll see. Yeah. Should I restart? Should I do? I mean, like shut it down.
This is nothing that you do will fix it unless you do the fix.
Okay, so I'll look up the fix while we continue to talk.
And I can give you the URL. What would be the best way to
do
that?
I bet I can Google it.
It's brand new to today.
Surface Book.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes because I have access to OneNote. And, in a couple of weeks when it synchronizes, I will have it.
I'll put it right at the top.
Thank you, Paul. Microsoft Deliver. Oh, there it is. Look at that. Blackforce.co.uk. Is this trustworthy, Black Force?
Sure, why not?
What could go wrong?
I haven't tried it, but I'm dying to find out.
Okay, hey, at least he's honest. I'm your guinea pig.
I can't do this. I'm recording a podcast.
You need for this all to work. I'm a little less dependent on this machine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is kind of my play machine. I just use it for bash. Oops.
You use the B word.
I did. Sorry. Wait a minute. Since I got my Surface Book, writes Black Force, it has been plagued with bugs to do with graphics, corruption, and hello bugs. Yes. Me too. Microsoft released some new updates on the evening of 19 April. I'd like to be an early adopter. I installed them straight away. And upon installing, I got a nice blue screen with the error. But I'm getting this one. Your PC ran into a problem and needs to restart. I get that all the time. That's what I'm hoping to get fixed. After a reboot, the Intel Control Logic update kept failing with the area code 8, same error code.
Mm-hmm. And that's the driver I'm not
saying. Yeah, it's funny because that's not the... I'm getting the signal processor 2500 won't run, but the same error
code.
It's
like Russian roulette, Leo. Any one of these things could kill your Surface Book.
So now you open setupapi.dev.log, find the error failed to install device instance. Above this error, it'll say which inf file caused the problem. Then from an elevated command prompt, you run pnputil-d oem90.inf and then do it. Oh, it's easy peasy.
Right. I'm actually surprised I didn't come up with this before the show.
This is stuff. These are commands. Yeah. I love it when I get commands I've never seen or used before. I love that.
Well, the thing I really appreciate is that error message you were reading from Windows Update, which I've never seen before, but I did see today as well on my Xbox.
Right.
It's like,
where have you been all my life?
Error yeah. We're just adding error messages. Yeah,
new error message.
So
this is the fix that some reputedly Microsoft person put on Reddit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what this fix is. So.
Oh, that's the same thing.
It's the same one.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Blackforce.co.uk says he found it on the Surface Reddit page. I should haunt the Surface Reddit page. It's obviously the place to be. I don't even know how to do these things. Open the log file from. So any text editor will do it?
Let me look at the instructions here.
What do I have? Notepad? What do I have on here? I have Notepad. Okay, so I have to... all right, I won't bog you down. I'll do this behind the scenes. We continue on with the Redstone phone build.
Yeah, this one we could probably condense, right? I mean...
Yeah, because we just got a phone build right before the show started.
Well, you say it's a huge
update. Yeah, we got one 6 days ago, too.
You say this is huge.
Yeah, last week's was huge. We kind of plugged in this new thing. But last week, they released this, I think, the biggest build ever for Windows 10 Mobile on the Insider program. Lots of new stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of new stuff, right?
But this one is a couple of things, but it's the Skype thing, right?
Yeah.
And we both talked to Skype, right, a month ago. I thought I knew exactly what they were doing.
Me too.
This completely refutes it. So what have they wrought?
Yeah. Right. So here's what happened. Today, Microsoft rolled out a Windows 10 Mobile preview. It's build 14327. This is the first build that has this feature they call messaging everywhere, which is really send messages across all my Windows devices. So it's messaging everywhere on Windows, everywhere.
And Android too. It will work on Android.
Is it? Oh, right. Android phones. Yep.
Yep.
But then in the fine print, it says, we're taking, it basically refutes what we thought was happening. It says, we're going to have this.
It refutes what I was told was happening. I'm positive they told me this was not happening.
It said, hey, we have this Skype Universal Windows platform app coming, which we knew was going to be coming. But we thought on mobile, they would still be the separate call, voice, and video apps. And that they weren't replacing them with the UWP Skype app. But today's message makes it seem like, yes, they are replacing it, right?
They specifically said that they had done focus groups before they did the three apps. People said that would be fine on PC and mobile. But then in the real world, and this is what I found, that the three separate apps make sense on a mobile device because that's, on phones in particular, we tend to think of apps as doing like one thing. So there's a phone app you can make phone calls with. There's a messaging app you can send messages with. And then for Skype, they have a Skype video app where you can do video chat, whatever. And integrating the Skype functions into those individual apps, to me, makes sense on mobile. It doesn't make sense on a PC.
Right.
A PC we're used to. Multitasking and complex apps to do lots of stuff. Office, Photoshop, iTunes, whatever. But this refutes this. And I'm positive. I'm positive. They told me that they would evaluate this going forward, but that the plan of record was keep the three apps on mobile, but let the Universal Windows Platform app be there as an option if you wanted it.
Yep.
Just like you can download the Windows Phone 8 Skype app today on phone. Mm-hmm. And then on PCs, have the Universal Windows Platform app, which would look and work a lot like today's desktop app. One app. This
That's
makes
what it
sense
seemed
to
like.
Me. It makes yeah. sense to me. It's not what they're doing.
No, because today they said they're taking, how did they say it? They said,
How did they excuse themselves?
The explanation today was, looking for it, sorry. Microsoft removes Skype integration from the messaging app in preparation for the UWP Skype app. Right. So it says the opposite of what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah, in other words, they said, right, so this is so Skype can streamline your experience, replacing the integration of the three apps with the Skype Universal Windows Platform Preview app for mobile in an upcoming right. build. That doesn't really...
Yeah.
I mean...
Maybe they're going to put it back when this UWP app comes out, but it doesn't say that.
You know what? As a long-time Windows Phone fan... One of the disappointing things that's happened to the platform, which has nothing to do with sales or market share or specific Microsoft phones or anything like that, but just speaking purely about the platform itself,
right.
is that the vision that they had in the beginning for these integrated experiences was so cool and so user-friendly, did not fly because, as we've discussed in the past, brands like Facebook and Flickr or whatever don't want you to go into some nice photo experience to do photos. They want you to use their app. And this is that lack of integration applied to Skype. That the notion that you're going to talk to somebody using your phone like a phone, and you shouldn't care whether you're using the Skype network or the phone network, is nice. It's a nice idea. Mm-hmm. Same thing for messages. And then video calls just have to be different because video is different. There's no, we don't have video phone calls on normal phones. But they're removing it now. That's what they just said. And what that means is that you now must think Skype. Mm-hmm. To use the Skype service, you have to explicitly in your mind think, I need Skype for this. It's not a phone call. It's not a text message. It's a Skype thing. And I don't know that that's a good idea. And just to devil's advocate it, I would say that they're probably thinking that messaging apps are big business these days. You see that with Facebook Messenger, with WhatsApp, with Snapchat, with various things in China and so forth. This is maybe their land grab for that. But, 350 million users, whatever they said, it actually does not compare very well to these other Skype, these other chat solutions. So, I don't know. I'm not sure that's such a great idea.
Yep. Well,
you know what? That is not also not a great idea.
Doing what you just did to your service book. Yep. Leo, if you would kindly wear the yellow canary outfit when you do this stuff, that'd be nice.
So the error message is that the INF file. Mm-hmm. Is different than what was the style of the INF is different than what was requested.
This is the command prompt.
This sounds like somebody not a native English speaker wrote that error message.
This is the PNP util thing.
Yeah. I found the error message. It couldn't fail to install device.
And it was not the same as OEM90.INF.
No. It's IAISP64.INF.
Gotcha.
Which it can't find, so I'm going to give it the full directory, which is Windows System 32 Driver Store File Repository IASP at IFM. It's got like 800. So I'm going to give it that whole thing. And
how did you view the log file?
It says
by the way,
deleting the driver package failed. The parameter is incorrect. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm typing it wrong. Let's see. -D, right? And then you give it a long ass file name.
How did you view the log file? Was that?
I just opened it up in a Notepad. It's there. I found the last error, the failed to install device driver. And then he says, go and see what that device driver was. He says it'll be in the line above that, which file caused that. And he has that long string too. In his case, OEM90.INF. And then he says, and I have an elevated command prompt. I'm running as administrator, right? That's what that means, right? Run as administrator?
Yep.
Yeah, there's nothing more elevated than an administrator, is there?
Nope, that's it.
Can I be God?
So here's what I'm wondering. He talks about an error on this Intel control logic update. That's the same error that I have.
This is not
it's not
the same
error that you have. Yeah. And I wonder if that's the problem.
And in fact, I cannot delete this file. Let me make sure I'm getting the command exactly right. PNPUtil-D and then the short form of the OEM of the name. It's it says the system cannot find the file specified. And then I give it the fully qualified name, and it still doesn't work. So that's probably not related. So this fix may not work for this particular error.
Right. Did you search for the text you searched for was failed to install device instance?
Yeah.
Did you ensure that there was only one instance of that failure?
No, I did not, Paul. Should I go back and see if there's another one? Maybe I should just delete the file that he's.
It looks like
says
on mine
delete.
There's only one instance. So yeah. the weird thing is,
I could go back and try that. I will do that. But anyway, we don't need to slow the show down with this.
We'll charge ahead.
Yeah, charge ahead, will you please? Just don't use my credit.
When Mary Jo's doing her picks and stuff, I'll try to.
No. I'm having fun. You guys keep going. Windows Phone is irrelevant, says this headline.
But yeah, let's skip over that one. Yeah, I think we've already. Yeah.
And this is our payback. At the time. And I haven't tried this yet, but Office 365, if you're a OneDrive user, is this for the people who got the unlimited OneDrive and then lost the unlimited OneDrive? Or?
Yeah, like, in other words, you actually were using more than 5 gigs of storage.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
And then they cut it back to 5.
Right.
If you fall into that category, you probably would have received an email this week already. It tells you where to go. You can pick up a free copy of Office 365 personal, by the way.
Right. But this dates back to last year. Because a lot of people are saying to me, did you see they just changed what they're doing with OneDrive again? No.
Yeah. This is the same. I thought they already offered this. Yeah.
Well, so at the time what they said was that in early 2016, we're going to email people who qualify. And I've been getting a lot of emails from people who said, so what did they just look over me or what happened? And they just sent them out this week.
So there's more going out.
And, by the way, just because I know someone's going to complain about it, let's just throw this out here. What about the people who are already paying for storage, right? In other words, this thing is a gift for people that were paying for nothing. Mm-hmm. Why did they reward those guys? And that's a good question, by the way. I don't know. So if you're already paying for Office 365 and you were using over a terabyte of storage, for example, you know, do you get anything? No. Mm.
Yet.
You get nothing.
You get nada.
You just get to keep paying for it, and you can just shit your pile. No, I don't know. I don't know why.
A terabyte is plenty. Come on.
Thanks, Bill Gates.
No one will ever need more than a terabyte. I'm actually not being facetious here. It really is.
No, actually, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Come on. Don't be greedy. Sure. And education. I'm edumacated. Much like the person who wrote this error message in the Microsoft log file.
So we heard about a bunch of things Microsoft's going to be doing in the Windows 10 and Office 365 education space this past week. Yep. And it was interesting how the blog post was framed. It said, you know, in the Windows 10 anniversary update, there's going to be a lot of new features that are for education. Well, they're not really just for education. There are things like, you know, what they're doing with Cortana and Windows Inc. and making PC boot and resume times faster. So these are just general features that also will appeal to people in education. But what they are doing specific to the education market is they're adding some new apps that are going to be bundled in with the Windows 10 version for the academic market. So there's going to be a new Setup Schools PC app for the IT administrators or teachers or who's ever setting up the PCs in the classroom. They'll have this shared cart of devices piece of that app. There's a take a test app. So they're really thinking about what can we do specific for teachers and students to make Windows remain the most popular device in education. And I forgot Windows, at least according to Future Source Consulting, Windows still is the biggest device platform in the classroom. Everyone thinks Chromebooks. It's not. Last year, it was Chromebooks, or it was at least Chromebooks were tied with Windows, but now Windows has inched ahead. And Microsoft wants to make sure that momentum continues, and that's why they're doing all these new enhancements specific to education. They're also doing a lot with OneNote, as we know, because OneNote's really big in the classroom. So there's a OneNote class notebook add-in. They're doing some things around a new service called School Data Sync that feeds into OneNote. There's a new Microsoft Forms app that's going to be a quick way to take surveys and quizzes. So they're kind of thinking out loud about these are the things classrooms need to do. They need to do these quickly. It needs to be built into the platform so that people don't have to go out there and get third-party apps. It'll all just be part of this. And then Minecraft, they mentioned as well. We knew there was going to be a Minecraft Education Edition for Windows 10. And they said there'll be a private preview of that in May with a group of schools they've already pre-selected. And then in June, they're going to be opening up the preview to anyone who wants to test Minecraft for education.
Excellent.
So lots coming if you're in the academic market.
Yeah. And this, of course, is response to this numbers from last year. The Chromebook was now 21% of education buys. And that was mostly the expense of Windows.
It was. Yeah.
But to be clear, this is just the U.S. because Chromebook, for whatever reason, has zero imprint anywhere else in the world.
Isn't that interesting?
And it must be confusing to people from Europe or whatever listening to this. Like, what do you guys talk about Chromebook? Like, what is this thing? But, yeah, it's a big deal here, I can tell you. Both my kids really about to use Chromebooks in school. Mm.
Yeah, I'm really sad our district replaced the Chromebooks with iPads, which was a hideous error.
Yeah.
And cost a huge amount of money, of course.
It's going to be an expensive thing to fix, too.
Oh, what a mess.
Which they will probably eventually
do. They'll have to, just like the LA Unified School District did. It's like they weren't paying attention. Unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. These things are trendy, right? Let's buy a bunch of these.
You have to say, though, I mean... What Intel laid off, 12% of its workforce? A huge number of people.
The PC
market is suffering a little bit, yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Not just in education. But that's not suffering in the sense that people aren't using PCs. They're just not buying new ones. Mm. Right?
Yeah, and for good reasons. There are positive reasons. I mean, this is something we don't really talk about a lot, but PCs are much more reliable than they used to be. They last longer. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean...
And
simple truth, but
what was a vicious circle of GUI upgrades that made your computer run slower, so you had to get more processors. It's done. Windows is done. Mm-hmm. It's not getting fast. It's been getting faster the last few generations, not slower. So there's no pressure to get a new machine because it's not slow.
Yeah, right. Cloud computing has come in, and we don't have as many needs for local storage. I mean, a lot of stuff has changed, and so. But I think the big usage thing though is just these mobile devices, especially phones, and I've kind of earmarked the iPhone as the thing that really stuck the dagger in there, but we just do a lot of things on other devices that the PC used to be the only place we could go to. You know, that's social networking, email, web browsing, games, whatever. Yeah. For me personally, I think Barry Joe probably agrees with this, I kind of like that productivity focus of the PC. I think of the PC as a work tool. I use it for work. When I open that thing up, I intend to get work done, you know?
Yep.
I don't like seeing Candy Crush in my start menu. Or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So I don't really care about it. You know, if I want to play a game, I'm going to break up my Xbox. I might use a phone. I think more people probably do that. But, you know, my music's on my phone. My photos are on my phone. You know, that's how the world has gone. But when you make money from the PC market, like PC makers do, like Windows, or like Microsoft does with Windows, or like Intel does, because, by the way, 60% of their revenues come from the PC market. And the market is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Obviously, this becomes a problem. So we're still looking for that light at the end of the tunnel kind of experience where the PC market flatlines and then finally starts hopefully growing a little bit. But this is a market. We were talking 400 million machines a year. And, you know, we'll see where it settles it in. But I bet it's going to be somewhere around 250, which is a lot lower than we were hoping for at some point.
Well, tomorrow's Microsoft earnings. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably hear more about how the PC market is doing from their perspective. Probably not great either.
No, but
I thought
Microsoft,
we saw the earnings already, or maybe that was just
already tomorrow. Yeah.
So I think Microsoft has done a better job than Intel of making this transition. You know, we've talked a lot about how successful they are in the cloud, and that's been a big story for them. Intel, of course, makes chips for data centers that would be used for cloud computing. They also do chips around mobile devices and IoT devices as really small businesses. Mm-hmm. But they just haven't made this transition as effectively. I mean, literally, I think in this most recent quarter, I think it was 60% of revenues still come from the PC market, from PC chips. So it's still, you know, their primary business. Microsoft, I don't know that Microsoft was ever in the place where 60% of the revenues came from Windows, but maybe. But if it was, this was several years ago. And so you can kind of see where the two companies are in that transition.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think it's bad news for the PC business. It's bad news for the people who lost their jobs. But I got to figure, I'm hoping that that's not in research and R&D and engineers. That's salespeople and people who...
So I don't believe any of it's actually happened yet. So they and not all of it is layoffs. There, some people will leave voluntarily. Right. There's
company
other
that size
on,
has but. A considerable amount of attrition, I'm sure.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's something I think that's going to happen over the next year. So I think what they said on the conference call last night was that emails would begin going out to employees who they were laying off soon, but I don't believe it's actually happened yet.
Don't you love it? Microsoft did this too. It must be very hard to work for a company where that happens and you're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? It's exactly what Microsoft did. And
a lot of recriminations around, you know, the businesses that they keep running, employees that are maybe not necessarily as skilled as you are, but they're working on something that's a little more, you know, hasn't gotten the axe or whatever.
And, right.
It's always kind of a tough thing.
Oh, well, you know, I'm sorry for people who lost their jobs, but at the same time, I think that's what's happening in the industry. It doesn't necessarily mean the end of the industry by any means. In fact, some people have cast it as, you know, ARM is killing the PC and killing Intel. I don't think that's the case. Just people aren't buying new PCs. They're not replacing their PCs.
It's ambivalence is what killed the PC.
They're not replacing their PCs with ARM devices. I mean, they all...
There's not a lot.
I don't know.
No, maybe, but you can also, if you have an older PC, you can now upgrade to Windows 10 for free.
Right.
I mean, so that's not helping sell new PCs.
I've gotten a lot of indications from people at Microsoft about the future of that kind of thing, right? In other words, one of the big questions we have is, well, July 29th is going to come. Are they going to extend the date and everything? And increasingly, I don't think they are. And I think a lot of it has to do with this stuff, that they made their case for, look, we need to do this for 1 year. It's going to be better for everyone in the long run. We're going to take a hit. I don't think the PC market could sustain more free Windows 10. You know, like,
you don't think they're going to extend it?
No.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a turnaround for you, Paul. I thought you...
I mean, I'm kind of a hippie when it comes to this stuff. I mean, you know, in my... sunshiny worldview, I kind of wish they would just do the right thing and, you know, give it away for free. But I think it's kind of, it was bad timing in a way because the PC market was almost. And then, you know, you give a Windows away for free and it's like, okay, no one's buying PCs.
I don't know.
Unless there's an absolute need.
They've got to get to that billion devices number that they had, a billion devices running Windows 10. And I think...
But
if they don't extend the free, they may not make that number.
But what's left for upgrades? In other words, Microsoft last year announced Windows 10 is going to be free for upgrades for 1 year. Mm-hmm. You have to think that the chart goes, you know, downward, right? You get most of them right up front and then it kind of goes off.
Maybe.
I mean, who's left that hasn't upgraded already? I mean, is there some... No, I don't mean literally.
I think there are some people... who either just like in the business world just went to Windows 7 when this Windows 10 announcement happened. Yeah. I think, you know, and not the people running enterprise who aren't eligible for the upgrade, but some other like small business people, right? I think also some people who've been holding out, staying on Windows 8, 8.1 still may not have upgraded. Some people are, you know, they kind of are in the old mindset of wait for Service Pack 1, which in a way maybe you could say Redstone is.
We bought a new PC to run Oculus Rift. Thank you, Facebook.
So I don't know anything about this. I literally can't claim to have any information about this specifically. But I have heard other things that are very much related to this that go in a completely different direction, that there is a sense that Microsoft, you know, between Surface, free Windows 10, signature PC even, has in the minds of PC makers. Not been a very good partner to these guys. And it's starting to take its toll. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they lashed out. The Chromebooks happened in part because of that stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that. We'll see what kind of intestine, you know, how they can handle this intestinally. But I think the complaining has reached a crescendo. Because there's a real feeling that Microsoft has harmed PC sales by giving this thing away.
Yeah. Whether or not that's true. I don't buy it.
I don't either.
I really don't buy that.
Same.
I think people are happy with their hardware.
You know what? Screw both of you guys. It's fine. That's why.
You know, it comes from the history, which is when a new version of Windows came out, they would sell a lot of new PCs. Yeah. I don't think somebody's going to buy a new PC to get Windows 10. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Oh, by the way, I don't either. Actually, I don't either. I want to be really clear. I'm just saying this is what I've heard, not that.
No. I know you agree. I think they're wrong.
I think the best thing for them, I think we have stepped over that point of no return. Yeah. I don't see how you can go back to charging for Windows.
Right.
Yeah.
Out in the world. I just don't get it. I think we accept that Windows comes on new PCs, and many times that's how we get that new version of Windows. You know, and obviously, over time, as you know, Windows 7 is sunsetted, you could say, well, now we're not going to support it for Windows 7 anymore because we don't support Windows 7. You can do things like that. But yeah, I don't agree with it, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are assuming that this is Intel's response to dropping PC sales, is that they're going to go ARM or they're going to go mobile or, you know, I mean, yeah, you know what? What's changed is there's suddenly this giant market for ARM chips on phones. I don't think that's hurt the PC market particularly. Maybe it has. I mean, maybe it is the end of the desktop era, but people still buy laptops and desktops when they need them. Businesses are not running their business on smartphones. Mm. So I still think the market is
not today, but you know, we skipped over this. The, you know, Windows Phone is irrelevant, but there's kind of a future there. Is, you know, we don't know what this next generation is going to look like, because a lot of people coming up in the world today, especially in emerging markets, don't own PCs. They don't own tablets. The phone is their computer, and they get used to that way of doing things. And if those people, you know, go to college or get into the workforce in kind of a modern IT situation, you know, they could impact what the trends are like going forward. I mean, it may be a continuum type situation, although I honestly have a hard time imagining it's going to be the Microsoft thing, but you could picture Android working really well in that way. And I'm sure they're working in that direction. I'm sure that's why the Pixel C or whatever it's called exists. You know, it's just a hedge against that possible future, you know, where Android becomes the platform on different device types.
Mike, you know, the Intel CEO has said that, you know, Brian Krzanich has said that he wants to go towards IoT and wearables. That's going to be a big market. You know what, Brian? Bad news for you. If that's your strategy for saving Intel, you got problems.
Listen, I'll just point to Skylake and say, if you can't figure this freaking thing out, there's no way we're putting you in a phone or a tablet or an IoT device either. And ultimately, it's that kind of stuff, I think, that's going to bite Intel. And just their, you know, it is kind of weird. You know, they're kind of Microsoft-like in this way, in that the big microprocessor, I don't want to call them revolutions, but advancements that have occurred over the past 10 years, the move to 64-bit, the move to mobile chipsets, has happened completely without Intel. You know, they had nothing to do with those things.
Yeah,
you know,
they missed the boat. That's what they're saying, right?
And I like that they're taking this kind of action and being proactive, but there's no way to know what's going to come out of this, if anything. They have just not risen to the challenge.
Yeah, maybe this.
So
is...
they make great PCs for great chips for PCs. There's no doubt about it.
They're in better shape than the PC makers, because what's happening, I think, a lot. You know, the other growth area for Intel is data centers. But data centers are not buying HPs and Dells. They're buying generics, or they're, you know, using the Facebook blueprint or the Google blueprint for making a purpose-built data center.
We used to make
Intel
fun of Google.
Intel still sells those chips.
Ad hoc it.
Yeah. But the PC manufacturers, I mean, that's really, I mean.
Well, they're little nano server things that run on ARM platform now. I mean,
I guess could you run? Could you run a data center on ARM? That's an interesting question.
I think you could.
Would you want to? Because what you want is high transaction rates, right? I don't know if ARM.
I mean, there's going to be ARM servers.
I'm fading quickly as this conversation proceeds, but
Windows Server on ARM. I think that's happening, right?
Right.
Or we believe that's happening. Yeah.
That's an, you know, there's a question I'd like to dig into deeper. We'll get some hardware guys and talk about that because
it seems like it'd be a great solution for that kind of cloud computing thing where you need to scale up, scale down on the fly and bring, you know, these machines have incredible
capabilities. I feel like Intel chips, Xeons are better for that kind of thing. But maybe not. If that's the case, then Intel's in really deep trouble because
this is a big block Chevy V8 versus a BMW i3 or what those things are called, electric car. I mean, you know, it's like this little look at that cute little thing, you know, and then you wake up one day and that's all that's on the road. I mean, things are changing.
IoT is not going to power anything. And and by the way, that's where Intel should be worried because that's where ARM chips are great.
Right. Right.
That's exactly where ARM chips are eating their lunch, is in mobile and IoT.
By the way, you know, how Intel, I mean, the Raspberry Pi should have been Intel, right? What's that thing they made in the B, not the BBC market? What they call that? There was a UK computer like this.
Really, the Raspberry Pi is kind of based on that idea. Mm-hmm. There was the BBC.
It should have been Intel. Like, what? Where is Intel getting them when they're young? You know,
there's an Intel equivalent to the Raspberry Pi, right? Isn't it the Minnow board or something like that?
I have the
Who
PC
has ever heard of this thing?
Stick,
you have just described a unicorn.
It exists.
No, I'm sure it's true. But
the hobbyists aren't buying it. But that's not who you have to convince. You have to convince the car companies, the people who are embedding chips and
I'm saying is the horse and the carriage are working fine. I don't understand why you need to get there quicker. And I like cleaning up the horse poop, so PCs are great.
Give me buggy whips. We need more buggy whips.
Yep.
This computer is so small, I've lost it in my purse. I know it's in here somewhere.
That's awesome. Well, I do use a mini Intel computer, right? I have an Intel NUC that I use. Oh, Leo, speaking of which.
Yes.
And you broke out your Pixel C, didn't you, you bastard?
Well, you got sharp eyes.
I don't think I didn't notice that four-color Google logo thing on the back. Anyway, I reinstalled Windows over the weekend, and that seems to have solved my problems. You may recall I had video problems last week.
Yeah, the slow. So that was just some corrupt thing. As long as we're doing updates, this Surface Book, I don't care if it's not going to install that last little bit of Intel cruftware.
Oh, I don't think that's the last bit. I think that's the bit that's preventing you from getting even more bits.
Well, it seems to be, I mean, I've detached the screen. I've been, you know, kind of messing with it. I mean, it's obviously 20 minutes messing around with it.
No, I think it's fixed.
But I think it's fine. It's sleeping okay. Yeah, it's fixed.
By the way, more than one person has noted to me that the reason you get that orange screen is because this must be your color scheme that you've chosen in Windows.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know. It's
it's accent color.
Could be. I don't know.
I chose blue, so
I'll choose blue then, and we'll see if it looks more bluish. But the camera seems to be working. It just recognized me instantly. I feel like I have hopes. And, you know, I have seen before updates get stalled and then resolve themselves over time. That's not at all unusual.
Right.
So I'm not going to worry about that quite yet. Settings. Where do I choose the bluish? Personalization. Colors. Yes, I do have orange, so I'm going to choose. Yeah. What would you like me to have? Dark green?
I want you to have what you want to have, but I just...
Orange
but now
is
we
pretty
know why
hideous.
It was that color.
Yeah.
Maybe purple.
Well, you know what it was? Automatically pick an accent color from my background. Yeah. And then I have this sunset-y thing. It picked the sunset. That was dumb. So I'm only going to change that because I don't want that. All right, good. So now we know why I'm orangey.
Mystery solved.
Since we've been recording this podcast, there was a guy working up on my roof. There was a guy replacing a window.
Oh, man.
Now a guy is drilling in my basement because my water... thing is rotting or something.
Now you know how my life is living in the city.
It's a little glimpse into Mary Jo's life.
You know, when we went to New York, Lisa observed, and I realized, yes, this is true. New York's constantly under construction.
It is.
Oh, yes.
You can't walk a block without scaffolding and dust.
It's true.
Probably asbestos pouring down on you from the heavens.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But asbestos isn't dangerous when it's in the air.
No, it's only when it's sealed right. in your ceiling.
It's like
yeah.
lead.
Yeah. Hey, should we talk about Skype?
No.
Yeah, speaking of lead.
All right, that was fun. Moving along. No, you want anything you want to say? Microsoft fixes one of Skype's annoying bugs, continuous ringing, according to Brad Sams. Is that true?
Well, we did test it, and it appears so. In other words, somebody calls you on Skype.
You answer.
Pop-up comes up, boop, you know, makes a sound. Boop, boop, boop. But if you have a browser that's open that's got OneDrive or Outlook.com or whatever, you get the little thing in there. Your phone over here in the corner is going to town.
Everything rings.
So when you answer the phone, what's supposed to happen, or answer Skype, I guess.
Everything stops.
I'm old, so I think of it as the phone. Everything's supposed to turn off.
Right.
And actually today in our test, it did.
When you pick up the Hooter. No.
I have a rotary dial Skype interface just so I can be comfortable with
Let
it.
Let me rewind my cassette here because I missed that. All right.
Yep. Let's hope it got fixed. That.
Let's hope so.
It seems so.
And you can make calls from your Edge now. Edge is finally getting to the point where it's usable, I think.
Yep.
Getting there.
And this is something, there's an Edge experimental features interface. You just turn it on. I think you have to be on the insiders to get this.
Oh, let me turn that on.
But yeah, I mean, so the future, obviously, of Skype and Edge is that you can make Skype calls without the plugin. What a wonderful world. Woo-hoo. Just in time for them to support plugins.
By the way, you'll be glad to know the reason I had my Pixel out is so I could wipe it and give it to Jason because he's thinking about buying one. And I thought, well, you should probably try it before you buy it.
Yeah, that should help convince him not to. yeah, that's good. That's a good strategy.
Yep. And what is Mike Skype UWP preview? That's Universal Windows
Platform. We actually ended up talking about this earlier, but...
Actually,
we didn't. So I didn't have a chance to write this one up yet, but in tandem with this new build for mobile, Microsoft has released a new build of the Skype Universal Windows Platform app for desktop PCs. They released the first version, a couple of weeks ago, I think. This is obviously the UWP app. It looks like the Skype desktop app. It has group features now. I have not even looked at it. I assume that means group video chats, video calls, that kind of thing. But the little bit of information here is that in a coming build of Windows 10 Mobile on the Windows Insider Tracker Fast Ring, they're going to be making this app available there as well. So you'll have the same app on mobile and PC.
Good.
So,
now all we have to do is get bots and we'll be caught up with Facebook. Let's take a break. And when we come back, the back of the book, the stuff you all enjoy so very much, the little bits, the tips, the tricks, the code name of the week. But first, a word from Blue Apron. You're working hard, 9 to 5. Day is done. You want to go home, do a delicious meal. Instead, you stop at Wendy's and you eat a square hamburger. Why? I know why. Because you're too tired to go shopping. You want to make a nice meal, but you don't want to figure out what you're going to make. Go to the store, face all the other people who are cranky because it's the end of the day and they're starving. That's why Blue Apron comes in so handy. It's so wonderful. You get home, your Blue Apron box is there on your doorstep. Inside, 3 different menus, 6 meals, or if you get the family plan, even more. Always fresh, even the meats, the fish, they're in the box has got, you know, dry ice in it, so it's refrigerated. You open it up, and inside, all the ingredients you need. There's not one thing you don't need. I mean, if there's a scallion called for in the recipe, it comes with one scallion. There's no waste. It's exactly what you want. They did the shopping for you, and then they give you these great big recipe cards to tell you exactly how to make it. They've got all sorts of tips on the website. In fact, videos, too, so... You know, if you don't understand a technique or you want to know more about how to do something, it really is like a cooking class in the box. But I don't want to say that because that sounds like work. It's not. It's fun. It's a better way to cook. And if you want to get your kids involved, the family plan is great with kid-friendly ingredients. New recipes every week. You'll never get the same recipe twice. You'll be working with ingredients you maybe aren't aware of. It's broadened my horizons. We found a new bok choy that was so good. We buy it every week now. See, that's the cool thing about Blue Apron, is you're going to get this recipe, you're going to cook this recipe, and then you're going to know how to do it from then on. It really expands your horizons. Take a look at what's on the menu this week. Grains of paradise crusted steaks with mashed plantain, collard greens, and ginger peanuts. That sounds good, doesn't it? Makes my mouth water. Wow. And again, stuff you probably wouldn't put on the menu unless you had a little help from Blue Apron. Seared chicken with sautéed purple potatoes, kale, and apple. I have to tell you, everything I've tried from Blue Apron, we've made many, many of these dishes, they're exquisite. It's not bland. It's delicious in a way that you will go, wow, I want to try this again. You might not say to yourself when you're in the grocery store this evening, I've got to try some crispy cod and yuzu shoyu soba with cabbage and togarashi. Certainly I haven't ever said that. That's the first time I've ever said that. But man, you're going to love it. And by the way, they also recommend a wine to pair with it. You know what yuzu juice is? I don't, but you'll learn. It's an East Asian citrus, small, mottled, and yellow and green in color, resembling grapefruit in its tart flavor, but it also carries traces of sweet mandarin orange. See, I love learning this stuff. And now I'll think about it next time. Zucchini and Parmesan quiches with green leaf lettuce salad and pink lemon vinaigrette. Look, you can pick menu items that suit dietary needs. They've got vegetarian, absolutely. That's why Mary Jo was happy to get her Blue Apron box. Gluten conscious, things like that. You can tell my mouth's watering. All the recipes are between 500 and 700 calories a portion. And this is all for less than $10 a meal. So it's really great and easy to cook, half an hour. You know watermelon radishes? I don't. You know labneh cheese? I don't. But you will this week at Blue Apron. Here's the deal. We've got two meals for you free. Go to blueapron.com/twit. Check out this week's menu. Pick the meals you want. They'll be delivered to your door. Fresh and delicious, and then you cook them. I like that better. I've had services where they cook the meals. No, I want to cook them. It's like a TV dinner when they cook the meals. This way, it's nice and fresh on the plate. Your house fills with these wonderful smells. Everybody gets excited, and for date night, you're going to impress. BlueApron.com/twit. Don't forget. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, time for your tip of the week, my friend.
Where are we here? I have app picks today. Lots of app picks. So I'm doing the AdDuplex mobile app pick of the week, right? They make this excellent app called AppRaise, in which you can get on Windows 10 PCs and mobile. And there's a lot of stuff in there that's just, it's really about people voting on which apps are best and so forth. What I'm interested in mostly is new apps. And this is kind of neat because it exposes you to apps, in my case, which are just apps I wouldn't necessarily need for myself, as you'll see in a moment. But you can see why they're important and why they've been upvoted so much and why they're popular. And this is kind of a nice way for me to keep track of apps that I wouldn't necessarily use in my own life. So I've got two, actually, from AdDuplex. I should mention, too, AppRaise was just updated with a new dark theme, if you're into this app. One is called Showbee. This is a big education app that's a huge hit on the iPad, and now it's available for Windows 10 for PCs, and so you can have a mixed environment with Windows PCs or tablets and as well as iPads. And again, this is something that would never impact me personally, but it's a big deal for people in education, now available on Windows 10. And the other one is called Wallhaven, which I actually used today to change the wallpaper on my computer about 150 times. Basically, it's an app front end to a website that has really high quality wallpaper, and you can search for different topics. I searched for Paris, for example, and I found some Paris Hilton wallpaper, unfortunately, but also some Paris, France wallpaper, which is what I was searching for, what I really wanted. And it lets you save it to your as your desktop wallpaper, as your lock screen wallpaper. You can just save it to your computer. You can do whatever you want with it. And it's free. It's ad supported. The ads are not obnoxious. You can pay 99 cents if you don't want to see ads. So kind of a cool app. And then as far as the other app picks I have, there's a bunch of them. I've not seen this yet, but Microsoft is apparently adding Android Watch support to Outlook Mobile, which means if you're using Outlook on Android, you can now get those notifications discreetly for all the different parts of the app on the watch. I keep waiting for this. I've never seen it. I have Outlook Mobile, but it hasn't been updated for me. Google Play Music was updated this week to support podcasts, which I think you probably know all about. I've gotten that update on the web, but I don't see it on Android either. So
there. It's weird.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So the way you do it, mm-hmm. I mean, this is non-obvious. Okay. If you,
well, I assume there would just be a podcast entry.
Yeah, no. Well, I would assume that too. No. So what you do is you look for in the radio stations, one of them will be podcasty.
Okay. Yeah, but
it'll have a little icon.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. But on the web, actually, there isn't one right now for some reason. But there's a comedy one, for example.
Yeah, I don't see one. So it's a very weird thing. By the way, you're in it.
But that's, but I mean, that's like, that's Google being Google, right? So, but there is, if you go to the web version, there is actually a podcast interface. You can just subscribe to podcasts. You can browse up podcasts. You can stream podcasts. I think the thing that's really cool about this is the thing you're talking about, which we're not seeing right now for some reason.
Yeah, there's a Discover podcast kind of.
Adds discoverability, exactly. Yeah. It's that type of thing that internet radio stations do for music. The weird thing about it is someone's clearly curating these things. So if you imagine like comedy podcasts, some of them will be live shows, some of them are interview shows, some of them are just, you know, whatever, just straight up podcasts. These things are all between 45 minutes and an hour and a half long. So songs are typically 3 minutes to 5 minutes long, right? So you get these gigantic playlists of comedy things, right. But they're very long.
Well, see, that's okay. So you see where it says laughing out loud if you're watching the video, it has this little icon that means it's podcasts.
But if you click the hamburger menu instead of going in there,
there's a podcast choice because there isn't on the app. Oh yeah, right. Look. So maybe they just
so
have
what
an
I'm
ad
saying is yet. I think the app is going to be updated with this as well. And when you subscribe to podcasts, they show up in your podcast.
Right. There's Windows Weekly, and you could subscribe. All the Twit shows are in there. We were actually, I didn't know this because they were my staff was NDA'd, but we've been working with them for months, like 6 months or something, to get this working.
Yeah, this has been coming for a long time.
Yeah. So you can add it by just clicking the plus icon, and now it's in your list.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and you could share.
Yeah, it works like you'd expect. The problem is it's just not in the mobile app yet. So I think that's coming.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, you'll get those playlists occasionally, but there isn't one right now in my mobile app. So
the day they announced it, they said it's coming today to the web and to Android. So of course I looked at the web there it was, great. And then I looked at the Android app and nope, and I kept checking. It's just like the Outlook thing. I don't know. I'm not seeing these updates.
Anyway, so it's there, and we're there.
It's happening.
And all our shows are on it. You can also, this is good, you can search. So if you search, and this works on the Android, if you search for Windows Weekly or Twit or something like that, you'll find, I mean, of course, what I found was there are a number of bands named Twit, but you also find all the Twit podcasts. So the search is working that way, too. So that's yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you, but it's kind of a little personal thing of mine.
Know something about it, yeah.
No video, just audio.
Right, which is the other weird thing. So if they were ever to add video podcast, do you think they would go to YouTube, or how does that work? I mean, how...
Ah, that's interesting.
I'm kind of curious why they don't have a Google Play podcast app. Actually, since we're on this topic, I should mention the interesting thing about this really is that now Android does have a built-in podcast solution, right? It never had before because Google Play Music comes with Android. And maybe that's why there's not a separate app.
Huh. You know, the ways of Google are mysterious.
Yes, they are. And ever-changing.
And ever-changing. One does not know. And then you want to pick... actually, Mary Jo has a pick.
I do. Yes.
Should we jump to Mary Jo?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
My pick of the week for a product is Visual Studio Code, which is Microsoft's lightweight code editor that works on Windows, Linux, and the Mac. It hit the 1.0 milestone late last week. Microsoft said there's now 500,000 developers using this every month, which is amazing. I remember when they announced it at Build a year ago, and people were pretty excited about it, but they were like, yeah, it's somewhat limited. Well, they've been, the community's been adding a lot of other language support to it. So now it works with JavaScript, Python, PHP, C#, C++, F#. And they're just going to keep making it better and going forward with it. So if you haven't tried it yet, it's available for free for download. And it works on Windows 7, 8, 10, Linux, all the different flavors of Linux, and OS X.
Yay.
I didn't use the B word either.
Nope. No B word in here.
No B word.
No siree, although I may install this on the L word.
Uh-oh.
Actually, that has other meanings, doesn't it? I shouldn't say that. Code name. Oh, no, wait a minute. Want to do Enterprise pick of the week. Yeah. All right.
So my Enterprise pick of the week is SQL Server 2016. And the reason it's my pick this week is I think Microsoft's really close to releasing it to manufacturing. This week, they made available the fourth and final release candidate of SQL Server 2016. So there are no more public release candidates, which means the next step is RTM. And a lot of people have been asking me, when can I finally get SQL Server 2016? I'd say very soon. My guess would be within a couple months max, maybe even sooner. Microsoft's been testing it since May last year. It's got a whole ton of features like always encrypted, the stretch database stuff, Polybase, which is for parallel data. There's a whole ton of new features coming in this release. So I think the reason I made it the enterprise pick is I think it's very soon that you'll be able to get your hands on it. And in a related pick also, Microsoft just made available this week, BizTalk Server 2016. BizTalk Server is their application integration server for enterprises. And the 2016 release right now is in Community Technology Preview 1. It's going to be out this fall as far as being generally available. And people who use BizTalk will be interested because this supports all the latest versions of Microsoft's various products, like Windows Server 2016, Office 2016. It's going to support SQL Server 2016. And so if you're somebody who's been using BizTalk or is interested in the idea of application integration, you might want to check out this new tech preview for BizTalk also.
Awesome. And your code name of the week?
My code name pick of the week comes from a video that Microsoft put out last week. I don't know if you saw this video, Leo. It's of Dave Cutler.
No, but I'm going to watch this. Yeah.
This is amazing because Dave Cutler, the father of VMS and Windows NT, never talks to the press. It's in his contract even. I'm never talking to the press. But he was being inducted into the Computer History Museum Fellowship this week. So Microsoft actually sat down and interviewed.
He's done anything.
Yeah, he's done nothing, but he's in now one of the fellows of the Computer History Museum.
Yep. Along with Lee Felsenstein, who we just interviewed on Triangulation.
Yeah, I was saying, I wish you could get him interview. On Triangulation.
I would. Color. You know what? Maybe Cutler we can,
the,
you know?
He's the great white whale, Leo.
He wrote NT.
He wrote NT and VMS. Yeah, and so this, if you guys haven't seen this. Yeah, if you haven't seen this,
yeah, I watched this on the
feature,
plane. It's amazing.
Where is it? I'm looking at the Microsoft site.
So this is a Microsoft PR team guy who actually Richard wrote this, Echol. And he did a great job. He went and interviewed all of his contemporaries. There's a lot of amazing pictures from the old days at Digital Equipment when Dave Cutler was working there. It's totally worth your while to spend some time with it. But that's where I got this code name. So in the video, Dave Cutler mentions Hydra. And so I was curious what that was, so I asked a few people, and it turns out Hydra was the code name for the hypervisor layer in the Xbox One that he developed.
Wow.
And the reason it was Hydra was the heads of the monster are the two partitions in the Xbox One.
He said that's why apps run on Xbox One.
Yep.
And he did that, by the way.
The code name was Hydra.
He did that,
by the way. Go check out the Dave Cutler thing.
He joined the Xbox One team 1 month before his 70th birthday. So for anybody, including myself, who thinks, you can outgrow the ability to write good code.
Mary Jo thought it was weird that I played video games. But
yeah. Not only is he writing good code, but he's writing it for the Xbox. That's awesome.
Yeah. He still goes to work every day. There's a picture of him in his office at Microsoft, which is kind of amazing.
I hope I can do this.
Me too.
I would love to. It's not so far off for me, a little farther off for you.
Not that far away.
Yeah, it's really inspiring. And I think one of the things that keeps you young is continuing to create and innovate. It's really great. It keeps you.
He tells some funny stories in the video, like of how Steve Ballmer convinced him to come to Microsoft. It's worth watching just to see what he says there.
Yeah. Can't wait to watch this. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
And maybe that's all we need. Maybe we don't need to do a triangulation. Maybe Richard's
I know. Richard Echol is the Microsoft guy, PR guy, who did this, and it's amazing. It's a really good job.
Yeah. Really nicely done. Neat. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate it. Oh, I don't know if you can hear in the background, they're singing Happy Birthday to Anthony Nielsen. Nice. I'm missing cake. Actually, it looks like pie. Actually, it's pie.
You can have beer, though.
But I would rather have a little bit of sunshine and happiness.
Yes. So when Brad Sams was recently visiting Rattle and Hum, he could not get enough of this beer. It's called the Port City Optimal Wit.
Ooh.
It's a Belgian-style wit beer. Oh, it's from Port City Brewing in Alexandria. And when you go to their site, it says, this beer tastes like sunshine and happiness.
I'm up for it. Actually, that's kind of what wheat beers do taste like, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice and bright.
This is a perfect rendition of this kind of beer, I think.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I was going to pick for today the Stone Enjoy by 420 beer because of the date, but I said, no, let's do a lighter beer.
You do know what 420 means to the kids, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do know. Surprising, I know.
Time for beer.
Time for a beer.
It's always 420 somewhere, Leo.
It is,
isn't
it? It is here right now, isn't it?
Right now. It's almost 420. It is. It's 422. We just missed it.
That's hilarious.
We just missed it.
Yeah.
Two quick event reminders before we go.
Oh, I'm so excited that you're doing this.
Microsoft earnings are tomorrow. Don't forget that. Yes. Paul and I will be all over it.
We'll cover that on TNT and all that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then Friday, Brad Sams, Daniel Rubino, and myself are doing a Reddit AMA on Windows Phone. We were invited by the Reddit
team. How did they leave Paul out of this?
I don't know.
Paul?
I think they said... Brad,
I didn't respond.
We'll represent.
You may not hang out in Windows Phone.
I didn't respond to it.
Oh, all right.
No, so this should
this
be pretty
be great.
Interesting. There's no news. Like, everybody's like, oh, you guys announcing something for Microsoft? No, of course we're not.
Why would they be? That's they're farming it out to bloggers.
All right. Yeah. No, we're going to be on Reddit answering questions based on what we know about the future and the present of Windows Phone. So come on and join us and bring questions.
It hasn't been debated enough.
It hasn't.
No, but that'll be fun. Reddit is
conversation.
Reddit's a very good forum for that, I think.
It will be good.
Yeah. And you got three great people. Paul, you should just stop by.
2.5 great people.
He should come and heckle us on the Reddit.
Yeah.
No. I mean, too many people perceive my attitude about Windows Phone as being negative when in fact it's just realistic. I mean, I know you guys will do the right thing with regards to telling the truth, so I'm not worried about it. So, yeah, it's fine.
And Surface Phone will, I'm sure, come up. Brad seems to have some thoughts about that. So
it will.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Good. What time again? That's today. Oh, no, Friday.
Friday, noon till 7 p.m. East Coast time. So we'll all be on different times and just answering throughout the day.
Yeah. /r/ Windows Phone. They have so good they made a subreddit about it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good.
Hey, thank you so much, Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Love doing this show with you every week. Thanks for walking me through the update. My Surface Book seems to be very nice. And if I get a blue screen, it won't be orange anymore. So that's the good news.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. It's, you know what? Hello Camera works a lot better.
So whenever you do get this other update installed, I suspect you're going to see a dozen more updates. Like, I think there's going to be a bunch of firmware.
The beginning, yeah.
I don't think you've seen all of it yet.
I got like five. I got a ton of them.
No, if you look at the list, there's like 17 or something.
Wow.
It's crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
A huge list.
All right. I will continue to update. And by next week, I'll probably have the latest. Yep. We do the show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1800 UTC. You want to watch live? Come by. You can also be in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. The show always ends at 4:20. Now I know why.
It's all coming together.
It's all making sense now. Paul Thurrott can be found at thurrott.com, thurrott.com. Don't forget his field guides. He writes great books. There's tons of them out there. But you find more at, what is it, windowsphonethebook.com?
Yikes.
Not even
lean
close.
Leanpub.com.
Leanpub.com. Sorry. L-E-A-N. Pub. Not L-E-I-N. That's later.
Not linuxpub.com.
Not L-I-N. L-E-A-N-P-U-B.com.
Yep.
Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's the address for her ZDNet blog. And don't forget, she, Brad Sams, Daniel Rubino will be doing the AMA on Reddit on Friday. at noon Eastern time. And we will see you all next week on Windows Weekly. Thanks, folks. See you later.